Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap, episode number 89. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel, and on today's show, we have Nisha Moodley. She is a women's leadership coach and founder of the Global Sisterhood Day. Inspired by the belief that the world will be set free by women who are free, and sisterhood is key to a woman's freedom. By midwifing women back to sisterhood and the truth of their innate beauty and brilliance, Nisha creates communities of women, leaders to support them to live, love, and lead with depth and beauty. Nisha, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacy. So wonderful to be here.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Now, anything I missed that you want to share with us or anything personally, please feel free. Otherwise, let me know and we'll get started.
I mean, that was such a beautiful intro, and I feel excited to get started. I live in San Francisco with my little dog. I have a little baby on the way, which is very exciting. My partner and I are very excited.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, life is good.
Well, let's dive in if you're ready. And I want to hear about your story, committing to win or cutting your losses, when you decided to start your business. And take us back to that moment and what factors you had to take into consideration.
So this is a great question, because I was at a point where it wasn't clear to me that I wanted to start a business. It was clear that I wanted a shift in the direction in my life in terms of my career. And so I was actually considering many things. I was considering, do I want to go into photojournalism? I really love photography. Do I want to, become a teacher? You know, do I want to somehow get involved with, social justice law? And also had this really incredible passion for health and environmental sustainability. And ultimately, what it came down to for me was looking at, first of all, what would the investment be, right? What would the time and financial investment be in choosing any one of those careers? I was also looking at becoming a naturopath, but a lot of my college credits wouldn't transfer. So that was many years. Like, that was a consideration for me. And also, what was the lifestyle going to be on the other end? So for example, with teaching, I realized, okay, you know, most teachers that get placed in the public school system end up going to not the greatest schools at first. And I don't really want to live in those towns or in those areas. And I wanted to have more freedom and flexibility in my schedule and in my lifestyle, and really make the difference that I wanted to make in the world. And so that was when I discovered health coaching, and realized that it gave me the opportunity to really take a stand for health, but also environmental sustainability, because if we are eating healthier, we're probably making many more healthy choices in every area of our lives. And it would provide me with the lifestyle and ability to grow something that was mine. So those were some of the main pieces for me, just looking at the investment, the lifestyle, and then also the impact that I wanted to make.
Well, and I think those things are so important, especially when you're talking about all of the different passions you have. And I know, Nisha, that people are listening and going, that's me. I've got so many things and I'm not sure where to focus on. So I think it's key that you touched on the reasons that you went that route.
Yeah. Yeah. So amazing. It was a really important part of my journey, of course.
Well, and what do you think is like one or two personal strengths that keep you on that path and have this successful business?
Yeah. You know, I think one is just a dedication to creativity. For me, creativity is what has me feel alive. So when I feel like I am treating my business like art, and what is the art that I really want to make, I'm much more creative and impactful in the things that I offer. So, you know, whether it's a challenge or a new, like an Instagram challenge or a new offering in my business, I just bring that creativity to it. And it also impacts like my branding and how I write and the quality that I demand from myself and from my team. So I think that's a really a strength of mine, is the dedication to quality. And I think another one, and I think any entrepreneur who has built a business that is strong and is dedicated to maintaining the strength and success of their business will say that devotion, it is a critical quality because, you know, it's like we can look at amazing pictures on Instagram or hear people's success stories on Facebook. And, you know, when we look at people's lives, whether it's their partnership or, you know, their family, their business, you know, it can look really beautiful on the outside. But when you get into a relationship, you know, whether it's a romantic partnership or, right. you know, being a mother or running a business, it's a relationship. It's hard, you know, it's tough work. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be slogging all the time, but it's just not that it's not going to be easy all the time. You know, there are hard times, and having that devotion, that tenacity, that willingness to fail and fall down and get back up. You know, I'm at the point now where I feel like what would happen, what would I do if everything failed? I'm like, well, I would just build something again. You know, it would be terrible. It would be heartbreaking. And I know my resilience, and I know that I would pick myself up and keep going.
Well, and I like that you touched on the dedication to the quality because it's so important that we keep that. And I think especially with, you know, there's just so much on social media and you're thinking, oh, today I'm just going to jump on and do this, or today I'm not going to do this at all. But one thing you have to understand is everything you put out there could be somebody's first impression of you. And it's so important to have that quality there. Even if you're thinking, well, I've been great all week. You know, today wasn't the best, you know, Periscope or live broadcast, or I could have done better in this. Understand that somebody was watching you for the first time.
Yeah.
Love it. Great. Yeah.
And we do our best. And, you know, we fail sometimes. You know, sometimes
there
are bad days, but it's having that devotion that makes all the difference.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, I want to kind of jump into our money financial session. And I want to talk about, you know, a financial mistake or lesson learned that you have made in your business and something that we can take away from that situation.
Oh, man, I've made so many over the years. One that really sticks out and caused really a ripple effect, a negative ripple effect in my business and years actually of challenge was I was in deep avoidance of my finances. So just very mystified by how it all worked and, you know, what accounts I needed and, you know, where should I be receiving money into and which account should I be spending money out of. And I guess the misconception that I had was because I wasn't making a lot of money in the beginning that there was no money to manage. So I was just going to spend what needed to be spent and get in what I could get in, and that would be that. And it's not enough. And I've realized that there's probably some good like saying about that I can't remember right now, but something about an ounce of planning. But, you know, really just getting those ducks in a row, it doesn't take a lot, you know, to go and set up a business account and vow that even if you loan yourself the money, in other words, transfer money from your personal account into your business account so that you can raise this baby called the business, that all of the money that comes into the business comes in through that account and business expenses are separated and calculated separately. And just keeping those things separate. I made the mistake of not doing that. It made tax time so daunting that I kind of avoided it for a while, which then created more problems. And, you know, everything is fine now. You know, I'm friends with the IRS again. But, like, that's a scary situation to get into. And it could have been avoided by me not being in avoidance. You know, if I had just said, okay, I don't know how to do this, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to learn now because this is part of the foundation of my business.
Yeah, and there's just so many great tools and systems to put in place when it comes to something like that. And that's actually one of our sponsors, FreshBooks. I'll talk about them in a minute, but it's just so easy and so basic. Like you said, the first step is just getting that bank account set up so you can separate your finances because it is, you know, even if you're not making money, you're spending money and you still have to document it correctly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so let me just take a quick moment to thank one of our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook tool of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap. Again, that's audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap for your free audiobook today.
We are back with Nisha Moodley, and I want to talk to you, Nisha, about is your business running you? So my question for you is, I want to hear your definition of work-life balance. You know, do you think it exists? Does it not? And if so, do you have it?
You know, I think it exists, but just not in the way that we typically think of as balance. So the analogy that I like to use is yoga. If anybody has ever done a yoga pose, a balancing pose before, there's movement in it. You know, if you're standing on one leg and you're balancing on that one leg, you're not perfectly still. We're never perfectly still until we're dead. So there's movement even in it. And that is really, to me, what work-life balance is that constant dance of what works in the moment. And so it's, to me, it's about looking at all of the areas of our life and making sure that there aren't any areas that we're in avoidance around, that we feel like we are engaging and attending to the relationships in our lives that are important to us, both with the people that we love, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and also with our finances. Like, that's a relationship too. And also with our business, that's a relationship too. And so that there's like full engagement in every area of our life. And knowing that just because we find what works for us this week doesn't mean it's going to work next week. The business might need something different next week. We could get a cold next week. You know, our kid could get sick next week. And balance will look different in that moment. And I think when we try to hold on to a static idea of balance that, you know, I'm just going to set my schedule and then everything is going to be perfect. It's like, well, no, set your schedule and then recognize everything is not going to be perfect and you're going to adjust as needed. And that's life, you know, that's life. It's, and so it doesn't mean not attempting to achieve a sense of balance because it can't be perfect. It's realizing, okay, I'm committed to all of these different areas of my life, you know, my family, my romance, my friendships, my self-care, my business, my finances. I'm committed to all of those areas and I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to stay engaged. And I'm going to keep looking and I'm going to do my best all the time to stay engaged with these different areas of my life to the best of my ability. And to me, that's what balance is. And if we can accept the imperfection in it and also be creators, like be actively engaged in creating what we want, to me, that's what more could we ask for? That's the way to do it. So yeah, I do feel like I have work-life balance and it's always changing. You know, what that looks like is always changing, for me, and I fall out of it, you know? So today, yes, I feel like that. And then ask me next week, I might have a day where I'm like, you know, today not doing so well with the self-care, not doing so well, you know, or I didn't get enough sleep last night. You know, or I'm feeling a little meh in my business, you know, it's an ebb and flow. And so just engaging.
I think it's so important to build in that flexibility into your schedule, knowing that it's going to be chaotic, you know? So okay. Having, when people have their calendars and they're just jam packed, you know, from morning to night, it's just you're asking for it to go chaotic and not your way. So for me, my calendar actually looks very light, knowing that things pop up last minute and there's just going to be times in the day that I need free time on my calendar.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
All right. So let's dive into delegating and outsourcing. And I want to know, what was one thing that you do now delegate that maybe wasn't that easy in the beginning for you? You didn't want to give it up.
Gosh, you know, this doesn't necessarily fall into what we would conventionally think of as delegation, because I haven't handed the responsibility to anybody else, but it's the thing that I think I have the most mastery around, which is, You know, in the beginning of my business, when I was coaching, I really made myself indispensable to my clients. And so, you know, they had unlimited email accesses to me and unlimited text access to me. And, you know, what was challenging about it is that they didn't necessarily have other people outside of me that they could lean on. And also, you know, it meant that I felt like I constantly had to be, you know, in my inbox or on my cell phone and replying to them. And when I started doing group programs and you know, cultivating community more, what I started to build into my program was people supporting one another. And so I'm still there, but the community is also structured in a way that there is a lot of mutual support. And everybody wins. Everybody benefits from having like rich support from multiple people. And what's been so beautiful is that, you know, not only does it give me a little more space in my life, which is wonderful, but they get so much more than they were getting when it was just me. You know, they're building lifelong friendships. And, right. You know, I've had women in my communities who have gone on to like attend one another's births and be, you know, maids of honor in one another's weddings. I mean, that's sort of at the high end of like, wow, what can happen with community. But extracting myself as the most important person and the person with all of the answers has actually opened up a whole world of leadership within my communities, connection and support within my communities. And it's given me some space to be able to hold the space, but not always have to be in it managing everything 24/7.
Now, how did you transition and get your community to engage and understand that you wanted that out of your community?
Yeah, well, it started by first when I was doing group programs, I would really encourage people like, hey, we're, you know, I'm the teacher here, but I'm also a student. And as much as you came here to be students, you're learning and you're discovering things and you have your own wisdom from your life experience. And so let's share that wisdom. You know, when somebody asks the group for support or asks the group a question, you're in the group. You know, and so it doesn't mean that people can't ask me a question individually. Like I would say to them, you're always welcome to come to me. You're always welcome to come to me and I'm here for you. You know, I'm not here at 3 a.m. or on Sunday afternoon, but I'm here for you. And you're also welcome to come to the group. And, you know, there's incredible wisdom in this space. And so I think just really reflecting, there's so much wisdom here. There's so much wisdom here. You know, we're all, you know, learning, but we're also all wise and continuing to invite people to bring things to the group and then inviting the group to reflect back support.
Well, and I think that's great because I think people naturally like to share. I mean, they want to give as well. So when you tell them, hey, it's okay, and it's not expected, but it's something we do here, I think you're going to get so many people to want to share. So I think that is such a huge takeaway because especially with Facebook groups and things like that, it can start to get very, very overwhelming. So I love Nisha's tip here. Great. Well, let me ask you before we go, just a couple quick questions. What do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
I think it kind of goes back to the thing I said earlier, but that I really get to treat it as my art. It's, you know, it's mine to, my business is mine to mold and shape. And so as I grow and evolve and my interests change and, you know, what I'm passionate about evolves, that can be woven into my business. And so it grows with me and it pushes me to grow. I think that's really my favorite thing.
Love it. And what's the most challenging part for you?
You know, I think the ever-changing nature of it. You know, the ever-changing nature. And I think we're in a time right now where my sense is that a lot of people have the hope that they can build something and then just step away from it. And it'll make them money and they won't really have to engage very much. And it depends on the type of business that you've run. But, you know, for most service-based businesses, and mine is a service-based business, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, right? I'm involved. You know, even if I had products that ran on their own, you know, the nature of it for me is that I want to feel like I'm connected to those people and I want to feel like I'm connected to what I'm teaching. You know, even if I recorded it 6 months or 2 years ago, I want to feel connected to it. And if I'm not feeling connected, it's time to do something about it. And I also have a team and I want to feel connected to those people. And so for me, it's just the ever-changing nature of the business. It's that, you know, what worked last year doesn't necessarily work this year. And, you know, a team member may choose to transition out. It might not be a good fit. And then that's something I have to deal with, right? You know, an unexpected expense could come up. And so it's a relationship and relationships can be challenging. And so I think the most challenging aspect is just, you know, like any human relationship, being in relationship with a thing that is always changing. You know, that isn't fixed.
Yeah. And, you know, what you said about last year, sometimes I feel like what worked last week isn't working this week. It's just, it is ever changing and it's just totally. Something that you've got to keep up with.
And there are a million variables. You know, is it because it's, is it because it's Super Bowl week and that's why the Facebook ads aren't working?
Yes.
Is there some word that I used or is there an algorithm that changed on Facebook or do people just not like the color purple? Like, you know, and so even with all of the data, you know, there are still so many variables, you know, and some people might even say like what's happening astrologically, right? There's just so much that, you know, how do we ever know? And so it's the blessing of it. And it's also the like, frustration of it as well.
Right. Never ending. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, what's one go-to online tool that you use every day to help save your business and rescue your life?
I would say it's Slack. We use a lot of tools in our business. Oh man, now I want to plug another one. I love Asana. You know, Asana is another one that we use. But Slack, what Slack has done for us is it's taken our communication out of text. It's taken our communication out of email and it's put it in one place, you know, so that in email, you know, I know that I'm not finding my team in there. We have pretty much completely eliminated email. From our team communication, which is incredible. And so I just really love Slack. I feel like if I'm taking space from communication in the business, maybe I'm being creative and I don't want to go into email, I'm taking a day off of email, you know, I can still go into Slack and communicate with my team there. So it's just a really incredible tool. So glad.
Well, now that you plugged two, I use Asana, but I've also been using Slack for somebody else's course that I'm taking, and I really like it. What is the pros and cons to combining the two? Because I feel like I'm using Slack inside of Asana, but that's where I communicate with my team. So what are you using Asana for?
So we use Asana for all of our project manager, project management. So, you know, every project that we have, we've got all of the tasks associated with the project and, you know, who owns the task and notes regarding the task. What we do is, you know, I do not like getting email notifications. So I have email notifications turned off for everything. Which means I have to kind of go into my inbox in Asana to see what I've been tagged in, if there are things that I've been tagged in. So, you know, what my team will often do, for example, is they'll tag me in a question in Asana and we'll keep all of the information about the task in Asana, but then they might ping me in Slack and say, hey, Nisha, just want to let you know I asked you an important question about this in Asana. Here's the link.
Got it. Okay, great.
And I'd like that by 3 p.m. today.
Okay. Yeah, because I have been loving Asana, and it's exactly what you said. I don't have to go in my inbox anymore to communicate with my team, which has been amazing to stay out of there. So great. I'm glad you shared that. Well, before we go, one last solid piece of advice you'd give to an entrepreneur looking to level up their business and their life.
Get really clear about what your vision is. Just get really super clear about what your vision is and what you want to create. And reconnect with that vision every single day. You know, go back to that vision and reconnect with it every single day. That is what keeps me moving forward on the difficult days or the difficult mornings, is just going back to that.
Great. Love it. Well, Before we leave, where can my listeners find more about you, products, programs, whatever you have? Please let us know. And I'm going to link everything to our show notes. And just so you guys know, Nisha is episode 89. So make sure to go to stacytushel.com/89. Everything she's mentioned today, we'll have links right in there in our show notes.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, my website is nishamoodley.com. We also are at sisterhoodday.com. All of my programs and retreats and coaching and all of that lives on my website at nishamoodley.com. And then sisterhoodday.com is a project that's really near and dear to my heart. Global Sisterhood Day happens every year in March. And we just had celebrated our second year. It was incredible.
Got congratulations.
Women from over 75 countries participating in circles on one day all around the world. It's just amazing. So those two places are the best places to find me. And then, of course, all the social media stuff is just in my name.
Okay, great. Well, Nisha, thank you so much for being here. This was such a pleasure having you on today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's been really wonderful.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.